ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host today, Butch Paul, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's April 3rd, 2018. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Miss Melody. How are you?
I'm doing just great. Thank you very much. April 3rd.
Do what? April 3rd, I know. Hey, I heard springtime's coming in July.
Oh, good. I can't wait.
70 degrees tomorrow and 50s tomorrow night, and then maybe a chance of snow Friday night. Come on now, this is enough.
I hear you. You know, our temperature lows here on the Eastern Shore are in the 30s all week long. The days are warming up, but the nights are still getting down into the mid-30s. So it's just like, goodness gracious, I'm looking forward to July.
Well, I got to tell you what, even though with all this cold, the trees are starting to bud out, and I don't like to see that. I mean, I hope it gets cold enough they don't get out too far and then, get frostbitten and kill all the fruit and all that.
It happened last year. I remember my trees were all blooming early, and we had one deep cold spell one night and killed off a lot of the leaves. But
that's all it takes.
That's all it takes, one evening. And but, you know, allergies are beginning already, and we're blooming here a little bit, too. So we'll take it.
All right.
Today. We'll take it. We took gold's big gains yesterday, only to give back half of them today. But that's okay. Down 970 today at $1,332. Silver was down 21 cents at $16.49. Platinum was down 8 at $929. And palladium was down 4 at $938. And that means the U.S. dollar was stronger by 0.18 at 90.21. Crude oil was up 54 cents at 63.55. And, of course, the paper markets reversed almost of what they lost yesterday. And again, these big drops, and then you have these big ups, they're just short, they're just covering their shorts. The Dow was up 388 points, 24,032. The NASDAQ was up 71 points, 6,941. And the S&P was up 32 at 2,614. The Euro 123 was down 0.22. 10-year yield 2.78. Let's see if there's anything exciting else going on. Not really. It's, you know, I thought yesterday was still a little bit of a holiday for some, Easter Monday, and today would be a full day back to trading sessions. And so, you know, you're going to see last week we saw some deviations in certain markets, I think, based on a short trading week. And I think you'll see the same thing this week. Volumes are low. So, everything still points to, as I mentioned yesterday, the S&P charts really shows that it's heading to about 1,800. So it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. So, and that's on the S&P. And so we hang in there. You get rid of those paper dollars and you buy some real money, gold and silver, and to protect your purchasing power. And give the folks at Discount Gold and Silver a call, 1-800-375-4188. What would you like to talk about today?
What are we having for supper? No, it's a different topic. All right, we'll move on beyond that.
You're always talking about supper.
Well, what are you going to do? I mean, it's been a long time since breakfast. But anyway, I was listening to talk about buying gold and silver. You probably remember this. I don't. Do you know what silver was going for? I'm just curious. Going for back in the 70s? You have any idea what gold and silver was selling for back in the 70s?
Cheap.
Yeah, cheap.
Very cheap.
I know it was like $3 an ounce back in the 90s, silver dollar.
Probably a buck or less.
Well, you know, now, folks, listen to this very carefully. Now, silver's going for right at, a silver eagle right about 20 bucks, right? Is that close to that?
16 and a half.
Okay, for the silver eagle, okay. About a buck back then.
Oh, for a silver eagle? I thought you said silver.
No, silver eagle.
Yeah, about 19 and a half, 20 bucks.
Okay, yeah, about 20 bucks. Well, I'll just read an article here that since 1979 to 2014, people's pay rose by 51%, but they end up making not quite as much clear as you were back in 1979. Now think about that, Melody. Your dollar has went, maybe stayed par, even though you make a lot more of them. But silver went from, we'll say, $1 for a silver dollar to about $20 for silver dollar. Now, which one gained on the positive side here?
Well, you know which one I'm going to say.
Absolutely. If I would have known back in 1975, 79, if I would have known and would have done it, and bought silver at a buck a piece, just think how much increase is it? Almost, that's like a 2,000% increase or more in that length of time, where my dollar actually, although making more, stayed the same value, spending value. Now, that, folks, pay attention. This is important.
Actually, I was wrong in the price. It was trading, what year did you say?
About 1975.
You're probably looking at about $4.
Okay, really? Okay, it's up and down back then, too. Okay, so still went up to almost $20. But when you think about this, a dollar lost, I mean, on a par, counting that your salary went up 51%. That's great. That's wonderful. But you stayed the same, purchase power-wise. So if you had silver dollars for $4 then, you would have been selling up $20 a piece. Which one really gained the most ground? Folks, this is common sense. It really is. I mean, this isn't things you have to take to a mathematician to figure out. Investing in something that's tangible and real and has intrinsic value always pays off in the long run. You hang on to paper that's valueless, except that we think it's worth something, and you lose every day. And the more they print to cover the debt, the less it's worth. And every time you get a pay raise, they raise minimum wage or whatever, $10, $15, whatever it may be, it gets eaten up with the cost passed on to the consumer. No one gains on minimum wage increase. I'm sorry about that. I watch school teachers striking all the place. I want more money, and I appreciate that. I really do. I'm not picking on the school teachers. We all want more pay. But they have to raise that money somewhere. Government does not produce anything of wealth. They come to you and I to cover the debt that they're spending for the increased pay for the state workers, for school teachers, everybody else. We are going to pay for that in the way of property taxes, income taxes, of all manner and sort. Please, people, quit kidding yourself. No one gets anything for nothing. Somebody's got to pay for it. Melody, is that pretty good?
Excellent. Excellent. And, the old saying is that people think that money grows on trees. Well, it doesn't.
And,
no, it doesn't. And the people have been convinced that things are great when prices rise, that it's a great sign of a strong economy when prices rise. And they've been conditioned to think that this is all part of the great, strong government and country that we have, and of course they're being conditioned, and one day some might wake up, but if you're awake now and you want to convert some of those paper dollars into real money, give us a call, 800-375-4188.
And folks, please take a rate on that. Do it. And you don't have to buy silver dollars. You can buy silver rounds, buy bullion, whatever you want to do. But buy something of tangible value. I promise you, it really changed my life over the years. It really did, as far as helping me get caught up on some things. I can't speak for anybody else, but I say this all the time, Melody. I can speak for myself and Marcia Jean. It's tighter for me now than it was 10 years ago. Much tighter. I'm going on 70 years old, and I'm still trying to find things to do to pay the bills, extra work, and I'm still cutting wood, heating my house with coal, because I can't afford anything else to keep my head above water. I know it sounds terrible to say that, but why should I lie about it? Why not tell people the truth? I'm not telling one out there. I just talked to a gentleman the other day, this past Thursday, and he also emailed me. He's about ready to lose his house. He's out of work. He's worked for years. He's out of work, can't find anything. He's about ready to lose his home. Now, how bad would you feel, Melody, if you had known about 2-3 months you're probably going to lose your home? I mean, how desperate would that make you?
Oh, I can't imagine.
No, I can't either.
But
it's going to be a real scenario in a lot of places today. And along those lines, I just read that in 70% of the counties in the United States, 70%, 7 out of 10, the average worker can't afford a home. Now, that is really sad. They say the time they figure in the monthly payments, the taxes, And insurances, most people, or 70% of them in the U.S. counties, can't afford one. It's cheaper to rent, per se. I know it's a shame to rent because you just put money in something and never get anything out of it. But if you can't afford a house payment, I guess renting is about your only option, isn't it?
It truly is. And, you know, purchasing a home is something, again, was another sign of a strong economy, a strong country. And now we have no affordable housing in this country. I was reading an article, talking about an article this morning I found in Iowa. There's a little town where the mayor tore down all the old, you know, dilapidated buildings and is giving away free residential lots.
Oh, I saw that.
So people will come and build, yeah. And, you know, he's trying to grow his town. The rural areas are hurting. People are moving out, not in, to the rural areas. And this is his way of hoping that if you build it, people will come. So we'll see how successful that is. But you know what? You can't give land away. Because no. You still have to build a house, and people can't afford to build, you know, there is a minimum requirement, so like a 1,200 square foot home. You can't have a mobile home on it. You can have a modular home, but you can't have a mobile home. And, you know, so there's still restrictions, and people can't afford that.
Well, if you can't afford the home, I mean, if you can't afford the house, that's the same. They give you a piece of land, still got to put a home on it, right?
Still got to put a home on it, right.
So there's really not a whole lot of difference, is there?
No. So, you know, so you can't even, but... Yeah, so it's interesting, but it's a sign of the times.
It is a sign of the time. It's a sad sign. And I know everybody's prospering, everything's doing well. And I guess in some areas, maybe it is.
Sure they are.
But the average person I talk to may be doing okay. But I know some around my area here are coal miners, and they're doing pretty well right now. A lot of folks who are living on fixed incomes or we'll say minimum wage jobs are struggling. And I talk to them all the time. I truly do, and I feel sorry for them. I almost makes tears in my eyes by people that listen to my broadcast for years are now about ready to lose their homes. And this guy's not the first one. I had a guy a couple years ago call me. He and his wife and three children are living in a station wagon. Now, that is scary. That is absolutely scary. That breaks my heart.
Yes. But you know what? You talked about coal companies. Well, I talked about this morning. A coal power company is filing for bankruptcy, and they're asking the government for a bailout. You have divisions of Ohio Power Company, First Energy, filed for Chapter 11 over the weekend, mere days after the company sent a letter to the Energy Department asking for emergency relief. So they're seeking a bailout through a rarely used section of federal law normally reserved for natural disasters or times of war. So, but the Energy Department didn't decline it. They just said it's now under review. So are we going to be upset about bailing out coal companies? Like were we upset bailing out the banks and everything in 2008? I mean, it still remains to be seen whether they're going to get bailed out. But, you know, coal companies, they've turned around in your area and so forth, but there's still issues out there because they can't beat natural gas. They can't beat the price of natural gas.
Well, you tell me, how long can anyone, Department of Energy, bail? How long can they bail somebody out? Who pays for the bailout? I mean, think about that. Does DEA pay for it? They just say, okay, we'll just, this comes out of our pockets here. This don't come out of the taxpayer's money. We're going to go ahead and pay it out of our own pockets. Does it work that way? Of course not.
Well, you know, they just passed a $1.3 trillion spending bill, so I guess everybody thinks that, well, they could do that. Why can't they add a little more to it? Just like, you know, it's the basis on which they filed it is perhaps a case of natural disaster or war. So, I mean, we've heard that, so many things are getting passed based on, you know, national security and everything. So maybe they feel they can get the bailout through that program. But, pay for it.
You do. And, it's, again, somebody got to pay for it. And they always come back and get in mine your pocket every cotton-picking time. But I do want to cover more on that debt in a few minutes. But I will do mention this, too. Of course, I've been hearing, 2 years now, Trump's going to build a wall. He's going to build a wall. He's going to stop illegal immigration. Now, and I have to give him credit. In some ways, he tried, and the courts overrode him in different areas. But nonetheless, You heard about the Mexican caravans, people marching towards the border of
from
the U.S.
Honduras.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Honduras, and coming out, and they're marching toward the border of the U.S. And they're demanding that they can just cross over just like you walk into your front door uninvited. They think they can do that. And a lot of them have done that, obviously. And I have to give Trump again credit for speaking up against DACA and all the other things that's happened on him. But he said, he wants to close the loopholes and urges Congress to act on the border. But Melody, do you really see any slowing down this so far? I mean, I'm not saying he's not trying. I'm not going to throw stones in about this. But I haven't seen lots slowing down. They're still coming in everywhere. We're bleeding immigrants. And a lot of them are fighting-age men. Now, that kind of bothered me a little bit, too. No families, a lot of them. They're coming in as fighting-age men. Can we be getting set up just like Europe has been?
Well, I do. And, he's announced that he was sending military to the border. I'm wondering what this is all about. There's something behind this, and yeah, I get the others, I get the left and the, I get that the Soros's of the world and so forth pushing these people through and so forth. I get all that. What's going to happen when the military gets there? I said that just a couple of weeks ago. One way to stop them crossing over the line is stick the military there, and if anybody crosses, you shoot them. And that was just a couple of weeks ago. I says that'll deter them from coming anymore. But the majority of them drive across. The drugs are driven across lots of times. And,
Well, Marsha, I went to Mexico last September down at Bible Care Hospital in Tijuana. And by the way, don't try to drive in Tijuana. Oh, my goodness. But that is, I can't even get, stop signs are a suggestion, and that's all. There's such thing as stopping there at the intersection. But nonetheless, coming out, going in was easy. We drove right on in. And coming out took a long time to get back inside the country. So I don't know how much you're getting through with the borders at the gates, but they do really pretty much monitor every car coming in.
It's the trucks.
Well, it's trucking too, buddy.
Because with the NAFTA agreement, it allows these trucks to basically just drive through.
Drive on through.
And that's what NAFTA opened
up. And I do know for sure they caught
up.
a lot of guards taking bribes too, by the way. A lot of them caught taking bribes. Yeah.
So to say every truck gets through without being checked, no. But because of NAFTA, they opened up the gates to commercial vehicles. So yeah, they stop us trying to get back to our own country. They'll stop us.
I did not need a passport going in. I had to have a passport coming out. That's true. You don't need one going in. It's coming out. Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, it is. And it's amazing we're through with our first segment of the program today. So please, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. And we'll be right back right after these few short messages.
Even while we sleep, we will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And please visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for the weekly newsletter. And, of course, you can listen to the program live and also the archives on a long-term basis. So thank you for visiting the website. Thank you for the support of Discount Gold and Silver, and I don't say this often enough, but because of your support, because of you purchasing, not only do you get great prices, not only do you get great service, not only do you get your truth about the coins and what you need to be buying, and it's based on your investment objective, a lot of these funds go right back into other programs to educate people about what's truly going on in this country. A large portion, and I should figure out the percentage one of these days, I might, goes right back into paying for many programs throughout this country, the internet and shortwave. So you support, when purchasing with Discount Gold and Silver, you support that. So I thank you. The other programs thank you. And so you get, can't find any lower prices here than a Discount Gold and Silver. The only difference is we don't take credit cards at this time. And there's a lot of fraud with credit cards. I used to. You know, you get bit once by fraud and you don't want to do it again. So we are looking into it. I might break down and try it once again, but at this point in time, you can just send a personal check. We do business the old-fashioned way. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188.
And folks, I want to tell you, I'm one of the ones I want to thank you for doing. She supports our broadcast at 9 o'clock every night. She supports
us. I didn't say that just for you. I know you didn't, but
I want to thank you personally on the air in front of everybody.
Well,
I mean, you're a blessing to us, Melody. You really are. I may give you a hard time, but I sure do like you.
Well, thank the listeners, too, because I couldn't do it without them.
That's right. Exactly right. So I want to thank them for that also. Absolutely, that's true. Now, we'll cover something else on finance in a minute, but I got to share this quickly. I'm just looking at this and thinking, this is so unreal. This is happened in New York City. We were on the train and suddenly just heard somebody scream. Now, folks, listen to this. Get the hell out. When we were stopped at Path 9's 9th Street Station, commuter Tim Alexander told CBS 2's Rena Roy. So I looked as we were leaving. I did see a lot of smoke. You ain't going to believe what happened. Some also described hearing a loud bang inside the station. Now, I don't know what they heard, folks. The passengers then evacuated after officials said the train hit an umbrella on the tracks. Now, figure this out. The big bang, smoke, boom. I don't know what you heard, but they hit an umbrella, and everybody panicked. Now, that is fear on a taut string, is it not?
An umbrella?
An umbrella. I mean, while somebody burped, oh, my goodness, or even worse, past gas, that'd panic the whole place, wouldn't it? They smell gas, and they run for their lives. I mean, I looked at the headline, get the blank out, Path train rider scared after umbrella on tracks causes loud bang smoke. I don't know how an umbrella causes smoke. I have no idea. Maybe one of the rails got, you know, shorted out or something, but come on, people.
I think that's the first of this show, Pastor Butch.
Oh, you think so?
Of actually saying passing gas. I ain't nothing first.
You stick with me, you probably hear a lot of first on, I imagine, but... But people are so afraid all the time anymore. The panic.
Scared of their status.
It's really sad. And that does affect the economy. People don't think about this, but people that are afraid don't buy a whole lot of anything. They're afraid to. They're scared all the time. They're afraid of their own shadows.
Yeah.
And I see this. And fear, fear has a factor on everything, does it not?
The only thing to fear is fear itself.
Who said that? Was it Roosevelt? Yeah, Roosevelt said that. Of course, that's back when he was making paper money and get rid of the gold. So, like you say.
He knew what was coming.
He absolutely did. Now, I got to share this article before the next break. This, I think, is kind of important. It's trade wars, petroleum, one, debts, $32,000 gold and $500 silver. Now, we've heard that before. But eventually it's going to happen. I don't know when, folks. I want to share this article. It's a little bit lengthy. I want to share it between before the next break, though. Is this it? Is the bull market finished and the good times over? By the way, this is by Egan von Gerzes. Well, they could very well be. We're looking at a world which is rotten to the core, a world which is built on debt which will never be repaid, and a debt which is artificially supporting hundreds of trillions of assets and quadrillions if we include derivatives. I can't even imagine a trillion, but quadrillions? The supposedly most powerful economy in the world, the U.S., of course, is now so indebted that it needs to fight the whole world, in all kinds of different wars for its survival, which is the latest being a trade war. Whenever a nation starts fighting with other nations, it is always done from a position of weakness. U.S. debt has been running out of hand for a long time. Federal, state, corporate, personal, mortgage, auto, student, etc. They are all escalating exponentially. On top of that, the U.S. budget deficit will be in the trillions for the foreseeable future, and the trade deficit $600 billion in 2017 and could soon be more than $1 trillion deficit. Starting wars is an indication of the final stages of a troubled empire. Now, Billy, that's important to hear that again. Starting wars is an indication of the final stages of a troubled empire, not republic, not a nation, an empire. Empires have always collapsed under their own weight, and every end has been hell, so to speak, for those empires. You know that.
Yes.
So the wars and the interference in countries like Iran, Libya, Ukraine, Syria, and Yemen are all part of that. The appointment of hardliner John Bolton as National Security Advisor is another perilous sign that the U.S. is on the war path again. So is policing the world's financial system, and so is protectionism and trade wars. These are all disparate measures of a country in a terminal decline. That sounds ominous. Terminal decline. I guess you could say America has stage 4 cancer financially. And it is certainly not a coincidence that this trade war started right before the oil trading in yuan began. Eventually, this will lead to the demise of the dollar and a major power shift from the west to east, as well as much higher gold prices. Nor is it a surprise that Silk Road countries have been buying major amounts of gold in this century. As a graph including this, says that the gold holdings of Russia, Turkey, India, and China have increased sevenfold since 2004, from 5,000 tons to 35,600 tons. The question is how much is actually left in the Western central banks of 23,000 tons that they allegedly hold. And I like that they allegedly hold 23,000 tons. No one knows that for sure, Melody. There's no way that you can prove that. No one knows that. But Russia and China for sure have bought up literally tons of gold. 35,600 tons that you know of. I don't know how much that'd be in ounces. but that's a big hit in wealth. And when you think about what we're saying about the nation is surviving, supposedly, the empire surviving, by causing war, which stimulates the economy, and by controlling other nations' economies that are getting out of hand. That's why they took out Hussein. That's why they took out Gaddafi. They were getting financially independent, and they can't have that, can they?
No, they can't. They can't. And, you know, the reports of Russia and China, you know, purchasing all this gold and so forth. My question is, do you really believe that these countries would tell the truth as far as what they're acquiring? Personally, they probably are acquiring more than what is actually being released. We had China. Oh, gosh, how long has it been? Oh, it's been a couple years, a year and a half, when they decided that they were going to start releasing the real numbers of the amount of gold, and supposedly it was actually lower than what everyone was reporting on. But I think they were just lying, because I don't think you'd ever get the truth out of China. I figured if they go one direction, that just means it's the other direction in which they're purchasing, so it would tell me that they actually own more than what everybody thinks that they actually have. So...
Well, I remember Bob Chapman talking about derivatives a long time ago, mm-hmm. and if those ever go up, the whole world's finished economically.
And they're doing the same shenanigans that they did before, and you know, none of the true numbers are released, and I mean, nobody knows what derivatives are and how much they are, and so forth. There's no value to these derivatives, so it's it is dangerous, and well, it is.
Go ahead.
No, I was done.
Is a derivative something along the lines of borrowing money on promise payment? Is that something like that?
It's like an insurance policy in creating funds.
Explain that to me.
Do I have to?
Well, I appreciate it. I'm sure somebody asked the same question. What's a derivative? I got an idea, but I don't understand it all. You don't have to. I mean, you know, we're not going to fire you if you don't, but...
Thank you. Not today.
Well, I tell you what, I thought I may have had something worthwhile, because I've heard different things, but I'm not an economist by any means. But I do say enough to know that that we've been, this whole world, as the article says, rotten to the core. Nothing, there's not one nation that I know of that's on solid financial footing. Do you know of any?
I can't recall.
I can't either. But think about that. Now, we're talking about a huge a huge world here. And which nation do we know of is actually running a profit, we'll say, and actually gaining or even holding their own? I can't think of one. Maybe I'm missing one or two, but I can't think
of one.
Well,
I mean, they're all holding their own, but it's all done by debt.
That's what I mean, yes.
Yeah.
Are you really holding your own when you're paying a credit card the credit card? Are you really holding your own? It may look like it on paper, but are you really holding your own?
And, you know, all the stimulus of, you know, these economies are still the largest economies in the world are being all stimulated. You know, from the central banks. So it's not even real economies that are, you know, working. So,
well, with the EMF, I understand, controls most of the funds going in and out of nations. Is that true?
The IMF,
I'm sorry, yes.
IMF. Yeah, you sign up and you actually become a member. And China was just recently admitted into the IMF. I can't even remember. The years are going by so fast. I believe it wasn't last year. It was the year before they were admitted into the IMF. And there was all these calls that the U.S. dollar would collapse at that point in time. But personally, I thought at that point that the China was just getting their foot in the door. They weren't going to do anything yet until they're ready. And I think that's what we're seeing with China. They're going around the world. They're positioning themselves. They're the ones that are making deals with countries. They're the ones that are, you know, we pulled out of the TPP, and I agree, we probably should have, because there were some things in there. It wasn't so much trade, but there was a lot of, you know, the courts and the legalities of things that truly would have made it a one-world government. And I think that's what they were setting up the forum, the true government, I think, was in that TPP, or at least a test. I mean, they already have world courts, and I get that. But so I'm glad we pulled out. But on the other hand, you know, you have all these other nations that were left to trade and make deals, and so we're not involved. And some people might say, well, that's good. Well, it is good to some degree, but... You know, there's trade that's not coming over here. It's not buying our products. that we're not exporting to. So to that degree, and we kind of lose our place. We lose the control. We lose, you know, a lot. So
when you become
ways of looking at it, and I'm not promoting the TPP by any means, but.
Well, as the IMF, when the nation becomes a member of the IMF, do they not put their nation up as collateral? I mean, the IMF transfers funds, so to speak. Do the people not, does the nation not become a collateral for the debt to the IMF?
Well, it used to be they used to have to put up gold. They used to have to put up a percentage amount of gold, and the IMF supposedly still has that gold. I don't know if China had to put gold in there or not to become a member at this point in time, because all currencies are fiat. But so I don't know about that. But in the beginning, yes, the IMF, you had to give a certain percentage of the amount of money that would be your loans coming from the IMF, would it be a certain percentage of that?
Well, they'll have to think that probably they have put up their collateral of the nation itself, you know, maybe the public lands or the properties of the people like we have in the United States. We no longer, we are chattel for the national debt. We know that. Our properties are, we are, literally. That's why they have birth and death tickets. So I just wonder if that's part of the whole deal where they will, say, bail somebody out, a nation out, but they got to put up something for collateral. That kind of, you know, I just wonder why China will get involved in that. I'm just curious. You know, do they need the money or what?
Well, they do sell their countries out when they do join these agreements. So
yes.
I'm not sure exactly what the agreement was with China in order to get into the IMF. I'm sure there's a similar doctrine that all countries have to, in order to get in there so they can borrow and so forth, they have to follow the quote-unquote rules, you know, of the IMF, and the IMF does control them. So
well, that's definitely true, because I have studied somewhat, and I understand a little bit more than what the Bible tries to tell me about trusting no man, and cursed be a man put your trust in man. I see them now, because we literally, when you're born, you're given a birth certificate, and it's auctioned off to the highest bidder to cover the debt of the country. When you die, of course, they have a certificate to show that you're dead. You're taking all the roles, so to speak. So we're seeing the fruit of getting involved in this type of situation. And the Bible says that the borrower is servant to the lender. So, Melanie, we are basically unowned people, are we not?
We are.
We truly are. And I know that now Trump's talking to, well, gotta go to break a second, I see that, but Trump's talking to Mexico. If they don't straight up at the border, they're going to cut off NAFTA, and I have no problem cutting off NAFTA. They didn't like to begin with. Maybe talk about that after the break, what you may see happening there. If we could pull on NAFTA, what could happen to U.S. and Mexico and even Canada? These things that we're looking into, it could happen, and it's being threatened right now. What happened, I don't know, but time will tell.
Yeah, I don't know exactly, you know, what will happen if these agreements are cut, if anything. You know, because, I mean, these agreements are huge.
Yes.
And, we get that, you know, the factories moved away. But on the other hand, we still do get business. We do trade with Canada. We do trade with Mexico and so forth. But it certainly is not fair. The whole key is to be fair, not free.
Are we on break here? I thought we were breaking.
Oh, we're heading into a break right now. I didn't hear the music. Todd was slipping there.
I know that.
Hey, we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value. value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul, and we were talking about debt, we were talking about markets, and what would you like to talk about next?
Well,
I guess there is...
Go ahead.
I just want to say there is a supposed active shooter at YouTube. Employees are barricaded...
Where is YouTube?
It's in California.
Okay.
Let me see if I can pull it up. Active shooter, multiple injuries at YouTube headquarters. That is in San Bruno, California. Officials confirm an active police investigation is underway. Confirmed that an active shooter situation is taking place on the campus. Let's see. Multiple people have been injured, including a shot to the chest. There are no reported fatalities at this time. It says that they've been evacuated. About 1,700 people work at the campus. Let's see. That's really about all the information. The 23rd Infantry of the U.S. Marines, which is about a block away, they have been put on lockdown, which I think find interesting.
The 23rd Infantry put on lockdown because somebody's shooting. I think maybe one going after him.
Think. That's what I thought. Whoa, wussies.
Wow.
But
Of course, it's the gun's fault. You realize that?
Absolutely. Yes, of course.
And California gun laws are very strict, but obviously. Somebody snuck one in there, and it's gun's fault. And can't blame anybody else. But, along the same lines, I was kind of curious about this. London, England, basically is a gun-free zone, period. I mean, that's just the way it is. But for the first time in history, this past month, London overtook New York in murder rates. And guess how the murders were committed?
Stabbing.
They stabbed them. So they got to outlaw the knives.
I think they should. And that means you can't.
Yeah,
you can't eat steak anymore.
Well, people can't be trusted. My goodness, outlaw the knives and go from there. But and New York City is a gun free zone too. So I don't understand how do you have gun murders in a place where no guns are allowed? Now, if guns are the problem, how does that work? They outlaw them already. And this is also interesting. London's murder rate has grown 40% in the last 3 years, while New York City has fallen 87% since 1990. Huh. And London has been gun-free for a long, long time.
Long time.
The cops over there didn't carry guns for years. I don't know if they do now or not. The Bobbies didn't carry guns for a long time either.
Not only that, London has the most surveillance of any city. I don't know about Israel, but London would be a close second as far as surveillance. They have cameras everywhere. So that's not helping to protect people. I don't know if it helps them to find the culprits, but or the people who murder. But so again, the more control they have, it's not keeping people safe.
Well, the police chief, by the name of Dick, blamed social media for the soaring rate. He couldn't blame the guns. No. But he did blame social media. So, if they have violent games there, like they have in this country here, I can see a little bit along the lines of the psyche of the people becoming warped when all day long they sit in front of a computer and shoot down people and get scores for killing people. You know, they actually make points for killing somebody on these games. So I can understand, perhaps, that this certainly adds to the moral, the mental and moral depravity of the people. And I've seen this game with my own eyes. You can go on, used to be, I don't know if you still have arcades anywhere or not, but the arcade just have lots of those. You walk in and you pick up a machine gun and start shooting things up. To older folks, that's a game. But when young people live in a day and night melody and they see it all over TV and movies, where there's no consequences for death and gory pictures, and I wouldn't even go to movies anymore, especially a violent movie, because they show scenes that look surreal that almost make you want to throw up. But people getting used to it, it doesn't faze me longer. You know that also in people that used to blush when they saw nudity or vulgar, some kind of vulgarity. Anymore, they just shrug their shoulders. They don't pay attention to it.
And these children are being stimulated at such a young age.
They are.
It's terrible. But I don't mean to interrupt.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
But you know what? Something going back to London, I'm thinking about, well, you know what? They have open borders. They have mixed cultures. You know, they have Muslims that are moving over. They have a Muslim mayor. And what happens to particularly London, is the largest financial city in the world, for Brexit anyway. But here you have, you know, a country that is ruled by a queen, and now all of a sudden you bring in a different religion to rule your city. It's you're eliminating responsibility. There's no accountability. You're weakening. I don't know. I just don't think it is that playing a part in the increased stabbings of that nation, along with everything else.
Well, I do know for a fact that in all over Europe, not just London, but in Sweden and other places, the rape of white women are going through the roof. Now, people say, well, you've been racist. No, I'm not. I'm telling the truth here. The Muslims coming over and they're raping the people. The women can't even walk in the streets safely anymore without being harassed by the Muslims. Women to a Muslim man, Melody, are just cattle. You know that. They're just yes, Beused and disposed of. There's no value to a woman really speak of other than having babies and pleasing a man. And I'm so frustrated with people here call themselves Christians who actually think that these liberal women are thinking that we should let the Muslims come in and take over here. I wonder if they ought to check with the women that are living in these Muslim countries before they talk about that. And, you know, I mean, maybe they should check with the facts first before they open their mouth. Wouldn't that be a good idea?
I know a woman, she was Philippine, and she wanted to come to the United States, but she couldn't come here directly, and she ended up in I don't know exactly, Saudi Arabia. I think it was Dubai. And she actually performed pedicures on the princesses. And they housed them across the street from where, and I don't know the streets or the exact place and so forth, but they housed them across the street from where they would have to go on a daily basis and perform these services to the princesses, to the wives, and I guess they call them princesses or whatever. And she says she was so fearful of her life just to walk from that building across, down the block and across the street to get to her workplace.
Wow.
Because you know, she passed the men in the streets and she says they were vulgar. She says they, you know, make passes and you know, she, you know, I can't remember. She was there like a year before she could actually come to the United States. And but she says it was terrible. She feared for her life just walking to work.
Well, see, so, that's going to be.
You don't hear stories like that.
No, you don't. You know, no, they don't report that on news, that's for sure. But it's going to be that way here in the country here, and I hate to say that. That's exactly why I don't like to even see my wife go out by herself after dark. I don't like it. It's not bad in this community yet, not bad in this area yet, but I don't ever feel comfortable with that because with what's happening all around us, Charleston, West Virginia, getting to be like the Wild West anymore, people being shot and things going on. So I don't know what to say. I mean, what else can we say? It's just a matter of the fact that we're in a situation now where the nation is deteriorating, and that's all there is to it. Morally, it's become bankrupt, and people have to like it. I really don't care if they like it or not. It's just the way it is.
And eventually that day of reckoning.
Oh yes.
Will hit us.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. It's already started. Our nation's already under judgment, but people are so ignorant they can't see it. But we're already being judged. There's no doubt about that. We are. We truly are. And we're getting off topic here. I know we are, but it's important because without morality, nothing works. No part of society works. A home doesn't work. The government doesn't work. Finances don't work. People become greedy and will murder for whatever. There's no morality left. There's nothing left to build a society. And without morality, a marriage doesn't last, does it?
No.
It can't.
Nope.
Can't. Then neither can society. But back to economics very quickly. Did you see the article about the flu vaccine, what they're expecting to make here in a few years on flu vaccines alone?
No, I did. Billions.
Yes, the vaccine industry is already a very lucrative cash cow for pharmaceutical corporations, despite fears about rising skepticism regarding inoculations growing in recent years. One of the most prevalent vaccines is the influenza, which industry predictions show is about to bring in a great deal more revenue over the next 7 years. Now, Melody, they even said on the news that the thing didn't work 90% of the time. But it's going to bring in more revenue over the next 10 years. I don't understand that. And people I know personally who took it got sick. I've never taken a flu shot. I've never got the flu. But anyway, a report from the Seattle, Washington-based research firm Coherent Market Insights indicates that the influenza vaccine market is poised to grow by a compound annual growth rate of 15.9% between the period of 2017 and 2025. This would take an industry currently making $1.6 billion to $8 billion. Think about that.
Those are a lot of shots.
Oh my goodness! I mean, we're talking we're talking about 8 years.
Yeah.
It goes up from 1.6 to $8 billion, and you would think after a while people catch on it's not working. Why do I get them?
Well, the way they make them is that the World Health Organization, the actual vaccine for next year is already made. They use the results from November, December of 2017, and they'll use whatever the strains they need for next year's viruses. That's why they don't work, because the viruses, they're constantly changing. But there's big money in it.
Big money. That's what the Bible say the root of all evil is.
Yep.
The love of money. That's pretty well. I mean, the root of all evil is the love of money. And what money can buy, of course, power and whatever else. Obviously, that's true. So I just sat back and marveled at this and watch it happen and wonder why people aren't catching on to the fact that they're lying to us. It's no longer even hidden from the people on world news, ABC News. They said that vaccines were not working the way they should. But you should still get it. And people go get it.
And what people don't understand is, what is the reason behind? Yes, the money is a big deal, but there's so much deeper than that also. I mean, when you walk into your grocery store and they offer you a flu shot, there's something wrong with that.
Yes. And
it's free. Well, how about giving me a free tomato or something? I don't want no flu shot. And there's something wrong, and people should say, this is not normal. This is not right. And make their decisions accordingly. But
when you think people catch on that you can't trust government after all these years, but they still say, we're going to give you a free vaccine because we love you. We want you to be well and prosper. So come and get your free vaccine.
they need to keep us healthy so they can get more tax money from us.
I guess I don't know, but I keep saying free. But I keep going back to the point: free. Really, is it free? You mean it come out of thin air? Nobody has to make the needles or the syringes or pay anybody to do this. It's all free. How does that work?
Yeah, it really
somebody's paying for this. And I wonder who could be. Could be people that are making billions off of it. Maybe you pay for some free ones.
And I just saw a headline earlier today. You know, we're talking about flu shots and so forth. What about the there's an antibiotic resistant bacteria that's been detected in 27 states. You know, they just keep pushing. They just keep dumping all these medications and everything on us. And it's you know, that is also about money, money, money. And it always amazes me, if you do go to the doctor, if you really do have something where you need an antibiotic, they always give you the weak one first, so you have to go back, and then they'll give you the stronger one. And I usually tell, just give me the strong one first. I don't want to come back. Don't get me twice. And so it's all about the bucks. It's all about
I got to cover one more thing for our time, because you're going to love this. You're going to love this.
Right.
Now, I think we both agree that the Easter Bunny is not really Christian. Would you agree with that? It's not really a Christian symbol.
True.
You know, Easter Bunny and the eggs. Neither Santa Claus, folks. But I want you to listen to how bad it's getting. This happened back some years ago. Government officials in St. Paul, Minnesota, took the precaution of removing an Easter Bunny display inside the lobby of City Hall, saying it isn't the city's place to promote religion. Go figure. I mean, it's not even funny. It's funny, but it's sad.
It is sad.
Well, I wonder what religion that is. The first church of the bunny? I don't know. I don't know. Oh, we're out of time already.
Yes, we are. And I enjoyed it. Thank you very much. 1-800-375-4188. Give us a call at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. We'll be back tomorrow. I'll be here with Dave Allen. Until then, be safe. Good night and God bless.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.